Matthew chapter 2. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you all for making it possible to be here in spite of the cooking of fried rice that always goes on the early hours of Christmas Day. So I was not surprised that many of us had to come late because cooking must be done. If anybody is still fasting, I'm proud of you. Those of you who are fasting, who have not eaten today, I'm proud of you. It's all of us, right? So I want to share something that the Spirit of the Lord just opened my heart to in the light of Christmas. You know, is it 12 lessons of Christmas that people usually talk about? On the first day of Christmas, my true love said to me, 5 golden turtles, 2 So, to be honest, that song does not make any sense to me. Praise the Lord. However, there is a biblical emphasis of Christmas. And we've talked about some on Sunday, the deity of Christ, the incarnation, God coming to flesh. There's so much you can draw from Christmas lessons, from Joseph or Mary, how that God can do the impossible. He says, behold, the Lord shall give a sign. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The Lord shall give a sign, and the virgin shall conceive. That is a lesson of, with God, all things are possible. However, this morning, I saw something else that the Lord opened my eyes to on the Christmas story. And if you want to give this sermon a title, we can say, Lessons from the Wise Men. Are you with me? So, the wise men are a very important part of the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 2, from verse 1, the Bible says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Interestingly, the wise men actually is what you can call magicians. Like they were people who, astrologers, they dealt with the spirit realm. Of course, I'm not advocating for spiritism, but it's noteworthy that when God came into flesh, people who dealt with the spirit realm could recognize something had come. Are you with me? Let me tell you something. All heavens, all earth, and into the earth, they reckon the name of Jesus. Some may not have submitted to that name, but they all reckon the name of Jesus. Are you getting me? Yes. You know, I was listening to an ex-occultic grandmaster. Now, I don't listen to those people normally because many of them, they lie. They lie to just exaggerate and tell you how great the power of the dark kingdom is. They lie a lot. But this one was quite interesting. This one was actually true for many reasons. Many reasons. I don't want to go into other reasons, but it was true. Something Pastor James Qualia. And he was talking about how he never knew about Jesus or all of that. But then, as he began to grow in the occult, in fact, his mom dedicated him to the, according to the story, the greatest witchcraft power. I think I played it for the workers, right? At some point. Was it this year or last year? Last year, January. Are you sure it's not? This year, January. The Workers' Congress. And he was talking about how at the point he was so high in the dark kingdom and the occult kingdom. And then there was a girl that came to preach to him. And according to the story, Jesus told the girl to tell him that, James, Jesus loves you. And for the past 20-something years of his life, nobody calls him James. They call him Master. They always call him Master. And then this girl in the hostel he was sent by a deep satanic fraternity to go and cause havoc in that school. And this girl just walked up to him and said, Jesus loves you. And he said, and she called his name and said, James. And he turned back. He was like, who are you? You call me James. Who are you? You get what I'm trying to say? And he was trying to attack her, and he was summoning all the demons. And he thought he could just, he looked like one small piece of thing. He could just break into pieces. And then, as the girl kept on coming towards him, Jesus appeared. So he was no longer seeing the girl, he was now seeing Jesus. And the light from Jesus was so much that all the demons and the spirits that he summoned, they disappeared in 1 second. According to him, almost 700 of them disappeared in 1 second. And Jesus embraced him. The girl actually embraced him. But what he saw was Jesus embracing him. Are you with me? And in 1 second, all the power that he had been gathering for 20-something years, snakes were moving in his body. He had to do some things, sleep in the grave. I'm like, wait, all the things you did, in 1 second, it was undone. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things underneath the earth. So these magicians, actually, if you follow what they call legendary movies, you can call them magi. These magicians or the magi, they saw his star and came. So let's read it. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Verse 2. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Kai, we have seen his star. My first lesson here is, how is it that people far away can see the star of Jesus, but those in the same very city could not see? I think we can learn a lesson of familiarity here. You know, when it comes to the things of Christ or dealing with Jesus, people who are around the things of the church or spiritual things, or they are used to hearing about Christ, they can become so familiar that people who seem to be getting it new may seem to honor Christ more and find things that may be blinded to those who have already become familiar. Are you with me? Tell your neighbor, don't be familiar with the Lord. Tell your neighbor, don't be familiar with Christ. Don't get familiar. That's a big lesson. Wise men from the east, they saw his star. Probably, maybe people in Bethlehem or in Jerusalem or in Judea, they may have seen a strange star and they're like, okay, what does that mean? Are you getting this? And ignored it. You know, something happened today. When I came into this service, when Joshua was leading the worship, you know, Christmas service, everybody, there's a temptation to just feel like, let's just do fast, say one or two things, wrap up the service, go home, eat rice, or watch our movie. Hey, I remembered something. God will help us today in Jesus' name. And all of that. But while you were singing, as I stepped down, I got a certain spot in this hall and I felt the presence of an angel there. The presence of God was beaming from that place in this hall. I was like, so they attend the Christmas service too. That means the power of God is around in the Christmas service. The anointing of God was so strong Tell me, but I refuse familiarity. I refuse to be familiar with the things of God. Like right now, people are celebrating Christmas and they don't know they are celebrating the birthday of the celebrant and they don't know the celebrant. They are celebrating Christmas and they don't know the Christ. They are just carried away. In fact, I saw a video of some people in the South. They are so excited about Christmas, they went to do a festival inside the stream. And the way it was looking, somebody said, that thing looked like an initiation. Christmas, many are doing 30 December. They have lost, they have become familiar with Christ. And guess what? Some Christians are like that. Christmas, where you're supposed to keep your gaze on God, they are carrying masquerade. I'm telling you, there are some Christians that travel to the village right now, and they are wearing masquerade to dance. So you know what I'm saying, right? Sometimes I will not take the Lord familiar. I will not be familiar with the things of God. Let me tell you something. The spirit realm is a real realm. Oh, don't get familiar with God. Even Christmas Day, the Lord woke me up to pray. Woke me up in the night. And just said, pray. I said, I thought Christmas was holiday. Don't tell your neighbor, don't get familiar. You know, something happened yesterday that made me know that. Let me tell you, God knows you. Tell your neighbor, God knows you. God is interested in you. Tell the neighbor behind you, God is interested in you. You know, by the grace of God, I'm connected to many men of God, many ministers of the gospel. One of them called me yesterday. Some of you who are close to me, you must have heard me say, Pastor Elijah, Reverend Elijah. He called me yesterday and said, Pastor David, I want to pray for you now. I said, what happened? He said, this morning, that was yesterday morning. He said, I have finished my morning devotion and I said, let me just round up the prayer and I fell into a trance. In that trance, I saw you show me a large piece of land. And you were carrying my hand and saying, that's the boundary. He said, Pastor David, this land is big. He said, and this place looks like Abuja. Now, I have not discussed anything with him. I have not announced anything to online. What does that tell you? That means, to the natural person coming for our service, these guys are just ambitious. Are you getting me? They just want to flex their ambition and their spiritual muscle in the name of faith. But somebody else, a total stranger, at least a total stranger to this particular assembly. He's not a stranger to our ministry, but to this particular assembly. God has shown him. He said, Pastor David, that land is next year. I say, yes. We receive it. I perceive we will still be holding services here when we would have purchased that land. Yes, some of you are not saying amen. Amen. Say it's bread for us. Now, some people will just hear that prayer, that thing he said, and just say, oh, wow. I really said it. I knelt down and said, sir, speak. No, I'm not familiar with the things of God. Praise the Lord. Let's read on. When Herod the king had heard these things, so they said in verse 2, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. Verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. It's interesting how, you know, when Jesus says, I've come to fulfill all that was written of me, his life was written. What we call prophecy actually is God giving a person an ability to see what was written about you and then prophesy from that script to you. Are you with me? If you check very well, a time comes in your life where you look at, I've seen this thing before. Has happened before? You come somewhere, I've seen this meeting before. The reason that is so is because your life is not your own. It was a gift of trust from God to you. And there is a script written for you. Many things that look like coincidence in your life is not coincidence. When you understand this, you will learn to tell yourself, I cannot fail. My life has been written. My path has been prepared. Are you with me? When you want to get overwhelmed, you remind yourself, it has been written about me. Are you getting me? How do you watch a movie that you have seen the end from the beginning, or you have watched the movie before and somebody who else who has not watched the movie is sitting beside you? When the person is panicking, hey, 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 you're like, the person is like, are you not seeing what's happening? You tell the person, just keep watching. When you have this understanding, that your life has been written, hey God, and somehow it's looking like things want to scatter, you will tell yourself, just keep watching. Praise the Lord. Okay. And thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, you should rule over my people. Verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship also. Verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Are you following this? And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts unto him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's another lesson there. They came to worship. They had a disposition to worship. So in Christmas, as you are eating your rice and chicken, as you are doing what you are doing, don't lose your posture of worship. Be like the wise men. Be wise. Are you getting what I'm saying? The posture of worship. They brought out their treasures to worship him. You know, most people use these gifts to say there were three wise men. There were actually three gifts, but the number of wise men were not specified. They brought frankincense, gold, and myrrh to worship him. Now, see verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Truly, these were wise men. So God could warn them and they will listen. Can God talk to you and you listen? The Lord was telling me something. He said, in the year 2025, one of the things you will learn and do for yourself and for everyone connected to you, learn how to obey me intentionally. When God gives you a nudging, follow it. Are you with me? When God tells you, for instance, the Spirit of the Lord put in my spirit for us to hold a program on the 3rd of January, a worship program. And I was asking the Lord, how will it be? 3rd of January, people are still in the New Year spirit. Then he reminded me, what did I tell you to do? Hold a worship program. Come and worship. Gather your people to worship. Even if it's only you and one person. Even if the rest of people are in the village, hold the worship program. And being warned of God in a dream. Now they didn't even call Herod and say, Herod, see, let's explain. You know, sometimes we are too conscious of what people think rather than what God thinks. They didn't call Herod and say, let's explain to Herod that, see, oh, God warned us. So the Bible says, I'm being warned of God in a dream. They left. I'm learning that. I won't explain to you. Sometimes, are you with me? I'm being warned of God. You know, even this season, I've been having a leading to announce. Be careful if you want to go somewhere. and you don't have the release of God in your heart, too. If you are feeling troubled about going to a place, don't go. Something is happening in the country I don't understand. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm not saying that's what they did. Accidents happen. Mistakes happen. But why is it that in the past 2 weeks, every place they are sharing free food, there has been stampede? Who has noticed? Ibadan, Abuja, Anambra, Abia. Everywhere they have been sharing free rice. People have died. The one in Ibadan, 30 children died. 30 children died. 30! I don't want to. Let it not be that some sort of sacrifice is going on. Are you hear what I'm saying? If the Lord, my God, if the Lord is warning you about something, listen. Sometimes, what you call disappointment may be God's hand in disguise. Maybe God saving you. Something happened to me. One of my spiritual sons came to Abuja for a meeting and all that. He came from the U.S. to Abuja for a meeting. And I saw the one we saw at the airport. And he was lodging at Guzape. I and my wife. So he said he wanted to come and see us. But somehow I just sensed my spirit that he should not come, that we'll go and visit him. So I said, you know what? Don't come. I will come and see you. All of a sudden, I don't even know what happened. I said, let me take a nap. And I slept off. I slept off by almost 2 hours past the time of appointment. I said, Jesus. And I called him and said, see what happened. I can't make it. He said, no problem. I will come and see you tomorrow. I said, no problem. Tomorrow. That evening, I drove out my car just to buy something in my estate. And the car stopped on the road. Listen, I spent almost 2 hours trying to fix that car, trying to get that car. I was running up and down in my estate. Later in the evening, I said, what if God was preventing this thing from happening somewhere that I will be stranded? Are you getting me? I was like, God, you're too wise. I will trust you. No matter what happens, I will trust you. Can you say after me? No matter what happens, I will trust God. Don't be quick to say, this year did not turn out the way it ought to be for me. Many times, what you may be calling failure, in God's eyes, is success. Just look at, the Savior of the whole world came in a manger. Like a place where animals pee and poo. Don't be quick to judge things by what you see physically. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't be quick to say, I'm a failure. I'm not in my life. Calm down. God has a plan for you. Verse 14. Verse 12, please. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not depart that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word. Once again, listening to the Lord. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. I think one of the biggest blessings in my life is knowing how to just follow the Lord. Just before, after Port Harcourt camp meeting, I was supposed to go to Lagos. And how many of you remember that the Wednesday service after Port Harcourt camp was titled Special Thanksgiving and Prayer Service, right? That was not the plan, no. The plan actually was that I was going to come and teach about the Passover. I was going to teach from Lagos Church. And we'll stream to all the branches. I will talk about the Passover, the biblical doctrine of Passover. In the night, around 4 a.m., I was praying on my bed. And I said, no, we can't hold that teaching. I sent a message to Pastor Uwana, Global Admin. I said, please, we are going to have special prayer and worship. She was like, Pastor, what happened? That the designer started designing. I said, don't worry, tell him to cancel the design. that I'm not going to preach. We're going to have special prayer and worship. I was like, ah, okay. My flight from Port Harcourt to Lagos was for 1 o'clock. Listen, no. Was for 1 o'clock. The plan was I would arrive Lagos 1. 5 o'clock, I would go to church, Lagos church, have the midweek service. Are you with me? And we'll just stream. As I was on my way to the airport, I got a call. I said, Pastor David, you can't go to the airport now. There was a small issue with the flights. One flight crash landed, and it has affected all the other flights. That day, guess when I left Port Harcourt? 7 p.m. That was when my flight moved. By the time I landed in Lagos, and came down from the flight, it was around 8:30 to 9. By the time I got home, it was 10 o'clock. So if I said we would do that teaching, the whole ministry would have been waiting for me. Pastor Wana said, Pastor, how did you know? I said, there's a spirit that knows. And many of such things that can go on and on. After me, I follow the Lord. And finally, about these wise men. These wise men came to seek Jesus. Can you say after me, wise men seek Jesus? In this Christmas service, decide to be a wise woman. Decide to be a wise man. That before the end of this year, as this year is coming to an end, as I celebrate my Christmas, I will make up my mind to seek Jesus. Weirdly, this Christmas day, I'm having a pull to just play the keyboard and just worship. Praise the Lord. But I'm aware that some of you have plenty of food to eat. So I will try. By the grace of God, today, I will keep to 10 minutes. And then, we'll close. Is that fine? Some of you always looking at me and say, Pastor, it's not possible. With God, all things are possible. Just exalt him right now. Exalt him.